You're listening to the Toolstation Western League podcast with Ian Knuckles and Tom Hiscott.
Welcome to episode 32 of the Toolstation Western League podcast with me, Ian Knuckles, and I'm delighted to welcome onto the line the editor of the Western League Bulletin. It is Mr. Tom Hiscott. Hello, Tom. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well, thanks. And yourself?
I'm all right, yes. Yeah, so it's good to have you back from your winter break. It's a bit late for that now, isn't it, really?
A little bit.
But obviously, with such little football to talk about last week, I thought we'd have a slightly different podcast featuring the life and times of match official extraordinaire Dave Brammer, some of his more entertaining stories from officiating in professional football. Definitely one not to be missed. Thoroughly enjoyed doing that with Dave, actually, and he's a lovely man. So hopefully the listeners enjoyed that. But we are returning to normal, the normal format this week. We've got two interviews for you. We've got Alex White, the manager of Clevedon Town, comes back for a second visit. And for the first time on the Toolstation Western League podcast, we speak to Oliver Feltham, the manager of Gillingham Town. So without any further ado, we'll look back on the games played on Saturday, the 9th of March. Of course, it's only right that we start off by reflecting on Falmouth Town's excellent achievement of getting as far as the quarterfinal of the FA Vars. Of course, their heroics in Jersey will live long in the memory, but looks like one other, their latest long-distance trip, this time to Great Wakering, unfortunately saw them knocked out of the competition at the quarterfinal stage. But, I mean, they go out with their heads held high, and it was one of those results that I'm sure everybody across the Western League was checking their phones throughout Saturday to see how they were getting on, because, we all wanted them to do well. And hopefully once the disappointment settles down, everybody at the club can reflect on a truly fantastic achievement. So well done for them for everything that they've done. But unfortunately, their trip came to an end at Great Wakering. But we'll turn our attention, Tom, to the Premier Division. And we're going to kick things off at Buckland Athletic, a massive crowd here. And Nowsy and Tickenham, I'm sure, put up a decent fight.
Yeah, absolutely. You say about the crowd, I think obviously, like ourselves, I think everyone is chomping at the bit to catch some football at the moment. All these postponements not doing anyone any good, really. So yeah, it's great to see them the crowd back out, and home fans rewarded with 3 points. Buckland roll into a 3-1 win over Nailsley and Tickenham, and it was Jared Lewington, leading scorer in the division. And he scored twice again on Saturday, so he's really doing the business for them at the moment. He got the ball rolling pretty early on in this one, with Josh Grant then making it 2-0 inside 15 minutes. So Buckland really coming out strong. Lewington, as I say, has scored again right at the end of the first half to make it 3-0. Luke Osgood scoring after half-time for Nailsley, but that was as good as their fight back came, and it was a 3-1 win for Buckland.
And then on to Clevedon Town, where the visitors were high-flying Barnstable. But this was a really comprehensive victory for the Somerset side.
Yeah, much needed win for Clevedon. 3-0 home win, which is, would have been a nice afternoon for them. And, it was scoring a couple of late goals, in fairness, to see off Barnstable. But it was Freddie King scoring in both halves for Clevedon. And then also Harley Vozza, he was on the score sheet late on. And as I say, Clevedon much needed 3 points, and they toppled Barnstable. Pretty good win, I'd say, all around for them.
Well, I thought that was a good opportunity to get Alex White back on the podcast. We did speak to him earlier in the season. Clevedon had, of course, been going very well, had a little blip, but looks like they're well back on track after that victory against what we know to be a very competent Barnstable Town side. So I started off my conversation with Alex by asking him whether that victory was as comprehensive as the scoreline suggests.
Do you know what? It was a weird game, really, if you look at it, because part of the game plan that we came up with was to try and control the game without the ball. And I think at this stage of the season, you've got to find different ways to win games. And that's what's sort of most pleasing about my side, really, this year, and how we've evolved. And we identified a game plan. And, yeah, we didn't have a lot of possession in the game. We probably had about 30 to 35% possession at home, which sounds crazy. But we were actually very comfortable in the game, I thought. That's not saying that Barnstaple didn't cause us problems in the first 20 minutes or so. They did cause problems, and we had to get to grips with that and change a few things. But thereafter, I think if you look at the game as a whole, we created probably the better chances, and we were quite clinical. I wouldn't say it was a 3-0 game, but we sort of looked quite solid and did what we needed to do to keep the ball out of the back of the net, and had that presence on the counter-attack moving forward. And it was sort of... It's not something that we're used to seeing a performance like that from us. We usually like to get on the ball and dominate it, but for tactical reasons and certain tactics the opposition have set in front of us, that we had to change it. So, good game of football, good standard, good quality, and no doubt Barnstaple will be up there this season. So it was a very important win for us.
That was actually your third win in the league on the bounce, but it wasn't such a happy new year for you, was it? What went wrong in January?
Yeah, looking back at it, it was a period, we had a run of games which came thick and fast, and they were all very different challenges. And I think after that Christmas period, we had such a high with a couple of really, really important wins. I think we beat Bridgewater with a last-minute winner and beat a few sort of sides around us. And so we were going in full of confidence, but we jumped to the top of the league, and I think that changes the mentality of teams when they're playing against you. It comes with added pressure. And I think we maybe, all of us, myself included, maybe got caught looking at the table a little bit. And then the mindset changed, because where we'd gone into most of the season as underdogs, if you like, or a surprise package, suddenly everybody takes notice and no doubt do their homework a little bit more and raise their game when they're playing against sides at the top of the league. And I think that's what happened in those few games in January. And we got caught cold a little bit. They were all tight games, and they could have gone either way, a bit like a lot of our games this season. We just came out on the wrong side, and there was a few lessons that we had to learn. But in the long run, it could have been a good thing. You never like losing games and going on runs, but we've bounced back since then. So that's been positive. Whilst we haven't played a lot of games, I think we have bounced back and learned those lessons. And hopefully we don't have a repeat of a little mini bad run between now and the end of the season.
Do you think that blip has impacted on your title hopes?
Well, we're there now. I think that's where we are. We've got 8 games to go, and we're there. And we've got to recognise that we are in a title race. And I think it's Helston's to lose. I think if you look at the table, it is Helston's to lose from this position. But there's a lot of football to be played between now and the end of the season. A lot of tough games. A lot of... you know, if you look at the top 6 or 7, we're all playing each other within the next couple of weeks or couple of months. So there's going to be points dropped here and there. There's some tough games for Helston between now and the end of the season. And I'm not discounting Falmouth out of that either, and potentially Bridgewater. So it is a title challenge. And, you know, we go to Helston on the last game of the season. And we're here now, so there's no point hiding away from it. So if we can stay in touch with them and maybe have, you know, the aim really is to have something to play for in that last game of the season when we go down to Helston. Well, it'd be a great way to finish the season, but you know what I mean, it could be twists and turns. That's the aim for us now. It is to try and win the league, because we're there, and you know, worst case scenario, we've got to make sure we get over the line in the playoffs. That wasn't the expectations at the start of the season, but we're here now, so that's where the focus has got to be.
Yeah, that season finale at Helston, that really is a mouth-watering prospect. If you can continue, at least it will make the life of the Western League a lot easier, because they'll only have to take the trophy one place. We won't have to order that helicopter.
When the fixtures came out, it was a funny one, actually. It was when they had the rearrange, we were expecting to go down there midweek. So, you know, when it came in as the last game of the season, when the season was extended, it was sort of whet the appetite of a few. It sort of could be something very, very interesting, that last game of the season.
Absolutely. But, I mean, before we get there, we have to say, you know, looking at Helston, I think you're right. I think we're looking up. But actually, we've got to have one eye looking down, because, you know, Bridgewater and Falmouth, they've got games in hand on you, and I'm sure they've got designs on catching you.
It's a really difficult position to actually gauge what the real league table is at the moment because of those games in hand of other teams. You know, we look at Barnstaple when we played on the weekend, that they were 12 points behind us with four games in hand. So, you know, mathematically, you could argue that that was a very, very tight one. So, you know, in winning that game, we have put a little bit of distance between us and them. But it's quite hard to do that. We've obviously played the games and got the points in the bag, which is a nice position to be in. I think I'd rather be in that position to sort of stand back from afar. And we've only got one midweek game between now and the end of the season. So, you know, there'll be a lot of Tuesday games being played. So it'd be quite nice to sit back and watch those results coming in and seeing where it takes us. But you're right, there's a lot of very, very good sides in and amongst that pack. And whilst it's the top five spaces everyone's playing for, I think Buckland and Shepton, I don't think they're out of it either. Whilst it looks difficult for them to break in, and I think they both have to win pretty much every game to get in, they're both more than capable teams. And like I said, points will be dropped, and it's the business stage of the season. I think we've all of us have worked really hard to get here now, and this is it. It comes with sort of a different pressure, and it's who can hold the nerve. So I think it's very exciting times, and a lot of big games to look forward to. So yeah, it's going to be a roller coaster.
And of course, we've got the playoffs potentially as well to come at the, you know, at the end of the season. And now, I mean, you mentioned them earlier in the interview, and you know, when we look at professional football, sometimes sides that finish just outside of the automatic promotion places suffer a bit of a hangover in the playoffs. But the way that you're talking and the mindset that you've got, and I can assume that you've, you know, you've transmitted this to your players, that actually if you find yourself needing to go again in the playoffs, then, you know, that is it, that, you know, that you'll take that. You know, that's a challenge that you'll gladly rise to.
Yeah, it's two cup games. I think that's the way you've got to look at the playoffs, because they're one leg. It's two one-off cup games. I think it's important to go into the playoffs in form. I think the most important thing, especially being in our position, yes, of course, we're looking. The aim is to win the league, and sort of a last resort from this position for us would be the playoff systems. But I think if you're going to get into those playoffs, finishing second or third is going to be really, really important, and having that home advantage with the semi-final being midweek, that is really, really pivotal to try and get into that top two or three at a minimum. And then it's the mini league, isn't it? It's two one-off games against sides around you. And, you know, we've done all right against teams around us this year. We've taken points off of some of the big hitters, and especially early in the season. So we do back ourselves to beat anyone on our day, but it is literally what happens on the day. It'd be nice to go in with form, but the smallest margin can change everything very quickly. So it has added a layer of excitement to the season and to the league, because teams have got something to play for, and it feels like there's seven or eight teams who are going to go hell for leather between now and the end. So I'm glad they've introduced it. There's definitely more excitement, and what a way to end the season that's going to be.
Now you've got Welton Rovers up next, and they are having a difficult season. I think it feels like it's getting more difficult with the publicity surrounding recent events. So I guess you there couldn't be a better time for you to be facing them.
Or you could argue there couldn't be a worse time to face them with the new manager about. So that's the other way of looking at it. Yes, they've had some difficult times and turnaround of a lot of players, but the new manager coming in could potentially go the other way. It could galvanise a squad. You know, that's a major change in the football club. And sometimes that trigger can spur a club on to bounce back. So I don't know what to expect on Saturday from Welton. They obviously had a much tighter game against Bridgewater than they have in recent weeks, so they've obviously given them a good game. And I don't know what to expect, so it's a bit of an unknown quantity. But really, to be honest with you, Ian, we've not been too overly focused on oppositions this season. I think we back ourselves, and we know that if we play well, then we've got the best chance of winning the game. So whilst we'll have half an eye on them, we know that on Saturday, if we turn up and we're solid, and we don't, you know, we're tight defensively, we've got good players who can hurt opposition, so we back ourselves. So hopefully we do catch them on a bad day, but you can never say never in this league. We've lost to teams this season who we've been expected to beat. You know, went down to Saltash and got beat, and deservedly so, and went away to Wellington and dropped points. So it's those type of games that maybe have let us down this season, that we've got to really make sure, like I said, learn those lessons like we did, like we got to from January, and make sure we go and win.
Then after Welton, it's Nailsea and Tickenham. And that's the local derby you probably never thought about facing. But having visited Nailsea and Tickenham earlier this season, I know that, you know, Clevedon, the opportunity to face Clevedon Town is well and truly on their radar. So that's going to be a real test for you.
Yeah, it won't be easy. Of course it won't be easy. They're a club who've worked really, really hard behind the scenes to get to where they are. And, you know, full credit to them. We know them quite well. And I've known them for a long time. So it's a new rivalry. It's a new derby for us. And it was great to play them on Boxing Day at home because there was a big crowd and a lot of anticipation. And, you know, we won the game, but it was tight. And no doubt it'll be a big game for them. You know, the first time that they'll host us in a league fixture. We played them in the Cup last season, so it was a competitive fixture. But in the league, and you know, they'll want to try and knock us off, you know, out of our rhythm. They'll want to stop us from getting promoted. There's no doubt about that, and, you know, rightly so as well. So we've got to make sure, we prepare for that game and try and identify their weaknesses and where we might be able to hurt them. But again, another exciting prospect going into the Easter. Then we play Bridgewater straight after. So it's going to go quick, Ian, between now and the end of the season. It's going to flash before our eyes. So we've got to make sure that we have no regrets come the end. So whether we do it, whether we fall short, whatever it is, we've just got to make sure we're us and we give it a good go.
Now, one thing that you have in common with Knowsley and Tickenham is that Clevedon Town and Knowsley and Tickenham were the two clubs that hosted us either side of Christmas for the Somerset Mind bucket collections. And I have to say thank you to both sides. And this is a great opportunity, Alex, having you on to thank you publicly for everything that you and the club did to support us with your collection. I think people who've listened to our interviews over the last few seasons will recognise you to be one of the new generation of coaches who brings a real philosophy and in a considered sort of sports science element to what you're doing. I think that's borne out by the success that your side has enjoyed on the pitch. But, I mean, how important is the mental health and the mental well-being of your players to you getting a performance out of them? Is that part of your coaching philosophy?
It 100% is. I think I've always had a mindset and a philosophy that players play better when they're happy. So I've always tried to create a positive environment in the work I do. But going back, you know, to the real basics, to look at why people play, is because they play because it's a release. You know, these players aren't semi-professional footballers. At the end of the day, we are paid, you know, we're all paid expenses, some not paid at all, and we do it because we love it, and it's a release from everyday life. So, you know, 90% of these players will work Monday to Friday, 9 till 5, and we play because we enjoy it. But a lot can happen in between that. And, you know, we had some very, very sad cases at Mousel and Wellington over the last few years of players who it was all a little bit too much and, you know, sadly took their own lives. And it's important we talk about that because on occasions we sat down as a squad and spoke about mental health and how important it is and how we're all here for each other and not to hide away. And, you know, it's something I hold very close to my heart about trying to help people to become better people and try and overcome problems in society. And that's something I feel like as a club, and I'm sure I can speak on behalf of the managers and other clubs, is we feel like inclusive to give people opportunities to go out and put a smile on their face and have enjoyment, you know, as alongside a really competitive and decent level of football. So, you know, it's an opportunity just to say thank you for obviously all your good work that you've done this year in raising the awareness. But also, I know a lot happens behind the scenes at clubs across the league to really focus on mental health. And it's a difficult job in management to be able to have circumstances where players are coming to you with personal problems. And, you know, I don't have all the answers, but to create a safe environment where players can actually reach out to you and ask for help, you know, managers across the country, I commend them to be able to be that person, that position of trust, to be able to help. So it is really, really important in answer to your question. And well done to everyone for all the work they've done this year on raising support.
And my thanks to Alex for his time. Now we move on to Shepton Mallet. who's, of course, we've been celebrating over the last few weeks because of their groundsman stroke chairman's heroics in getting games on. Well, he got another game on. In fact, they're probably the only team in the Western League that's at risk of not being able to play because they've had too many games played on their pitch. But they had another big gate here, another three-figure gate, which I'm really pleased to see. And they took all 3 points against St Blasey.
They did, yes. Another side who started strongly and... yeah, held on for the 3 points. Goals in the first half from Charlie Bateson and Joel Sisson, putting them two up. And then it was Paul Brathwaite scoring a further goal, making it 3-0. So Mallet in, yeah, strong position at that point. Late consolation from the corner shout fit coming from George Newton. But it was another win for Mallet, who backed up their impressive win in the Les Phillips semi-final. So, yeah, 3-1 win for them over St Blasey.
And finally, our last feature game in the Premier Division is Street against Helston. Now, listeners, the eagle-eyed or the eagle-eared amongst you will have noticed that on this week's podcast, 3 is the magic number. Well, that's exactly how many goals Helston scored against their hosts.
Absolutely. I think, yeah, we pinpointed how this could have been a difficult, tough away game for Helston. But, yeah, they did the business, didn't they, on Saturday? Another side winning by... the three-goal margin, 3-0 win for them at Street. And it was a pretty tight opening half. And it was took until the 43rd minute for them to break the deadlock. And that came from the penalty spot as well. So that was Jordan Cott putting them one up. They then scored again early in the second half through Tom Payne. And then another goal from Cott in the closing stages made it 3-0. So, yeah, Helston, league leaders, gaining another 3 points in their trip to Street.
And now a message from our sponsors.
Whatever the job, with over 25,000 products in stock and ready to go, you can click, collect and conquer at Toolstation.
Now, moving on to the First Division, and we'll kick things off with high-flying Bitten against lonely Keynsham Town. Two sides separated by quite a distance in the table, but not very far on the ground. And, well, Keynsham really put up a decent performance by the looks of things here, Tom. Bitten not running away with this one.
No, absolutely not. It was a late winner for them in this one. A 2-1 victory eventually for Bitten. But, yeah, didn't come about in easy fashion whatsoever. Joe Beardwell making it 1-0 with an early penalty for the home side before Keynsham clawed it back on about the half hour or so. That was Jack Weaver scoring from just outside the area. And that was how it stayed for the majority of the afternoon. It looked like it was probably going to be points shared. But then Beardwell, who's having an incredible season for Bitten, struck again right at the death to make it 2-1. And yeah, they managed to hold on that time. So Bitten running out 2-1 winners at home to Keynsham.
Now we move on to Cribbs Reserves against Wells City. And of course, Cribbs Reserves are a team that we've praised a lot this season. They really hit the ground running in our First Division. So this result caught my eye a little bit. And they were humbled by the visitors on Saturday.
Absolutely, yeah. Not sort of a slim defeat. This was pretty heavy loss for Cribbs Reserve, who haven't suffered many this season, have they? Up in third spot, but this will have pretty big ramifications with the title race, you'd imagine. But yeah, 4-0 defeat for them at home to Wells on Saturday afternoon. It was only one goal separating the sides at half time, and that was thanks to Wells's Joe Morgan, who scored with a header after around 10 minutes or so. And then it was that man again, striking midway through the second half to make it 2-0 to the away side. So Wells, putting them in position for an impressive victory. And they did just that, pushing on in the closing stages. Finn Wilkinson extending the lead to 3 before Tom Avine scored the 4th. So, yeah, pretty one-sided win for Wells away at the Cribbs Reserves.
Now, Tom, the next result here is you're going to find traumatic to read out. It was certainly a traumatic day for Odd Down, but it looks like... everybody at Portishead had their shooting boots on Saturday.
Yeah, more of a rugby score, a 9-0 win for Portishead. We generally don't like touching on the heavy defeats, but unfortunately for down, Portishead definitely with their position in the league and whatnot, we need to sort of address the fact they've scored another 9 goals and their goal difference advantage over everyone in the league's extended further. And even Feltham, as seems to be the way, he scored a hat-trick, of course. He's got a bit of the Harry Kane's about him, doesn't he? Just scores in the bucket loads. So, yeah, he's having a very prolific campaign, isn't he? Another hat-trick for him, as I say. New signing Ben Bamman, scoring twice in the early stages. He looks to be an excellent addition at this time of the season. He scored, as I say, twice inside the opening 15 minutes. So a dream start to life at Portishead for him. And then it was another recent addition. I think he might have also been on debut, with Jack Ball striking late on in this one for Portishead, who ran out 9-0 victors at Odd Down. So a good trip to Bath for the away side there.
One final game to bring you in the First Division, and that is Shire Hampton. They entertained Gillingham Town, who haven't been enjoying the greatest of form this season, but Gillingham managed to pick up all 3 points in this one, Tom.
Yeah, they did, and it was a tight affair. Just the one goal separating the sides in this one, and that came from Chris Hastings, but it was for Gillingham. So yeah, they picked up the 1-0 win at Shire Hampton. So back to winning ways for Town.
And that was a good opportunity for me to get onto the podcast for the first time ever, actually. Oliver Feltham, the manager of Gillingham Town. And I started off by reflecting on that excellent 3 points at Shire Hampton and how important it could prove come the end of the season in the relegation race.
Yeah, really, really happy with that performance. Particularly as it was a bit of a relegation battle. Shire Hampton, before the game, looked like they were sort of sneaking out of the sort of mess down there. But with that win, I think it's brought them back into the mix, and you know, it's moved us up two or three places, which was really important because I know Hengrove and Warminster picked up good draws against Cribbs and Radstock in the week before, so I felt the pressure was on a little bit, but a really good performance.
Well, you talk about the relegation mess down at the bottom of the table, but you've had two wins in your last four matches, so there is positive signs that the team's form is improving.
Yeah, definitely. I think Gillingham had a particularly poor start to the season, where they lost a few games early on. Then they had a change in manager. I think the interim manager, Paul Down, sort of steadied the ship for a bit, and then I took over from him and made a few tweaks, and so far I'm really, really pleased with what we've done, how we've competed and sort of how we've played. It's been a bit tricky with the weather, get any sort of continuity, but that's the same for everyone at the moment.
Very interesting point you raised there. What was it that encouraged you to take on the challenge at Gillingham?
For the last season or so, I've been assistant manager at Cheddar alongside Tank, who I've learned a lot from. Had a really good time at Cheddar. I really wanted to test myself as a manager as opposed to an assistant. Gillingham is probably one of the most local Western League clubs to me, so I thought I'd give it a go, really.
And I mean, is there a longer term project that you've got in mind? Are there are there places that you'd like to take Gillingham in the coming seasons?
I spoke to Pat, the chairman, when I took the job on. He is a Gillingham through and through. He does a lot of fundraising, sorts the pitch, he does so much for the club, and his vision on and off the pitch, he sort of spoke to me about what that was, and it was really exciting. Obviously, this season's not gone as he would have hoped, but hopefully we can pull ourselves away from the relegation zone and look forward to a much more positive season next season. We've got some cracking young lads, a good mixture of some experienced lads as well. So, with a couple of additions, I don't see why we wouldn't be, comfortable, in the league, to say the least. I think the long-term aim is over the next two or three seasons to, get back up into the Premier where they were a few years back.
Now, for the moment, though, you talk about that relegation mess that you're in at the moment, and of course one of the sides that are fighting for survival is Hengrove. You mentioned that they had a good result recently, but and you lost out to them at the start of last month. When you're looking at sort of those teams sort of fighting for their Western League survival, do you think Hengrove have got enough to stay in the division?
I was quite impressed with Hengrove's strike force, really. I think that was a difference on the day. They were just that bit more clinical and more effective in the final third than what we were. You know, it's a fairly even game. It's a real scrappy affair. You know, it's the worst performance Gillingham have put on since I've been there in the last six games. But yeah, I think the difference on the day was the their strike force. I think, unfortunately, their striker got a red card maybe last game or the game before, so, you know, I think they might miss him for a little while. But, you know, they're a established Western League side, aren't they? Jamie Hillman's got them sorted. He knows what he's doing.
Obviously, you've talked about your background with Cheddar and your time in the Western League First Division. I've certainly seen the First Division become more and more competitive over the last couple of seasons. Is that how you found the standard of competition?
Yeah, definitely, without a doubt. I think, you know, the maybe top six or seven sides in Division One, you know, very, very, very good sides. I think, you know, some of them have got the budgets to match, which obviously helps. You know, at the moment, it does, you know, very much seem like three tiers to the league. There's the sort of top seven, there's a middle group, and then, you know, probably up to about seventh from bottom, you know, all in sort of three little mini leagues, really. So my challenge to the lads the weekend was to finish top of that mini league, which I think is, you know, maybe 16th. You know, so if we can get to there by the end of the season, you know, that'd be great. But yeah, I think maybe with the travelling in the Premier Division, some players that aren't or don't fancy the travelling maybe are staying in Division One, even though they're capable of playing in the Premier, just because, you know, less travelling, and, you know, they can pick up a bit of money as well. So that's why I think, you know, the top sides are, you know, very strong.
And you're facing one of those top sides next, aren't you? You've got Bitten. You know, they don't come much harder than that. Are you hoping that the sort of the good form from Saturday is going to come in, you know, going to follow you into that game?
Yeah, that's what the hope is. We got more than enough to compete. We went to Radstock for a game a couple of weeks ago, and up until about 65 minutes, we were 0-0. Unfortunately, we had a man sent off, and then, you know, Radstock took control then, and they beat us 2-0. But, you know, I don't see why, if the lads apply themselves with focus and concentration, that we can't get through. Far. We're at home. We're coming off the back of a victory. So, you know, we need the points, you know, and I'll drum that into the boys. So they definitely might be coming down to our place and getting 3 points handed to them.
After you suffered that defeat at Radstock, did you get some kind words of encouragement from Ray Johnson?
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. You know, Ray's a top bloke. He did say to me as we were walking off the pitch at the end, he said, you know, if you perform like that, he said, I think you might do us some favours by beating some of the teams that round us or getting some points off of those. So, that was a really nice sentiment. Yeah, let's hope he's right.
Yeah. You've got three home games on the trot, haven't you? Wincanton is going to be a bit of a derby for you, and then it's Bishop Sutton. Now, they're having a torrid season, so, you know, there's a lot going on for you and your team over the next few games. I really do think that there's going to be some points up for grabs for you.
Yeah, I hope so. The Wincanton game, obviously a local derby. Yeah, anything can happen. We've had that one called off maybe three or four times, and the lads are buzzing for it. So, you know, when it comes, you know, we'll be doing our very, very best to get some points there. And I know Bishop Sutton are having a tough time at the moment, but I don't think any points. I don't think you can take any points for granted in this league. I know they've they seem to be getting some better results lately. You know, so you can't take anything for granted. So I'll make sure that the lads go to that game with the same mentality as if we were playing Radstock, Portishead, or Brislington. You know, any of those teams.
Now, this is a question, Ollie, I ask all the managers the first time they come on the podcast. I'm interested to find out a little bit about yourself. So can you tell me about your journey to the Gillingham dugout?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so I've played in the Western League and County League for over 20 years. Where I played for teams like Street, Wells, Wellington, Minehead. So I've got good contacts, know a lot of people, you know, got a lot of pleasure from playing football over the years. And when sort of my playing days were coming to an end, I just signed for my hometown club, which is Somerton. And we had a bit of success at Somerton, so I was just playing sort of towards the end of my career, and we got promotion, and then we got into the county league, and then I became player manager at Somerton, and continued having success. So we got another promotion, and then again the following season, I took over as manager. Again, we got another promotion to Division One of the county league. So that's where my sort of management began, kind of thrown into it, really. You know, Somerton didn't have a manager. I was playing there. I was coming to the end of my career, so I thought, yeah, I'll give it a go. And really enjoyed it. And then after a couple of years at Somerton, Dave Pearce asked me if I wanted to come across and manage the reserves at Bridgewater. So I've known Dave a long time. He's a Somerton boy as well. And I went there for a little while, a few months, but things didn't work out quite as I wished. So I left there. And within a couple of weeks, I had Nathan Truckle and Tom Clifford-Jones from Wales ask me if I'd come along and join their management team. So I went along with them for a season or so. Really enjoyed that. Really good experience. You know, pretty successful Western League side. And then after that, I actually went back to Somerton for a season and just played in their reserve team back in the county league until my legs gave up on me. So I was about 43 then, so I sort of stopped playing then. And then then I was really missing football, missing the feel of the dressing room and that sort of thing. So I saw Tank over at Cheddar was looking for an assistant, and I got in contact with Tank, and we hit it off straight away. Really, really enjoyed it there as his assistant. I learned a lot from him. And then I've decided, I wanted to be the manager as opposed to an assistant, like I said earlier, which is how I've now ended up at Gillingham, yeah.
And my thanks to Ollie for his time. Now, actually, Tom, there was one game that I went to on Saturday.
And that was about it.
That was Wincanton Town against Hengrove Athletic.
Wicked.
And I was there with my bucket for Mind in Somerset, and we handed over some changing room posters as part of that. And I would like to take this opportunity to thank everybody at Wincanton Town Football Club. They made me and Alison from Mind in Somerset really, really welcome. We haven't had a chance to count the money yet, but everyone was very generous on the day. Very warm reception that we got. Lovely hospitality from the club. So hopefully we've done some more good work for a great cause in Somerset. So thanks again, everyone there for Wincanton. And just to top off the day for those Wincanton fans, they did win by 2-0. I also found out while I was there that I think the local horse race course, which, of course, is the subject of many of my puns.
I was going to say you refer to it weekly, so yeah.
They do actually help out the club, I think, with some grounds maintenance.
Oh, wicked.
So actually, that all of those ridiculous entendres that I come out with, there is some basis for fact in there.
Lovely.
But there you go, yeah. Now, we will take a look at the upcoming fixtures, which will be played on Saturday, the 16th of March. And there's a bit of a twist. There's a bit of a twist to this one, listeners. So those of you who've been listening to the podcast for a while know that Tom and I always pick out a couple of games in each division as our ones to watch. Well, our new general secretary, Jennifer Gregory, who hopefully you will have heard me interview a few weeks ago on the podcast, came up with an idea, a variation on this theme, where Tom and I not only pick out the game that we would that we want to highlight in each division, but we actually suggest a score. And over the next few weeks, we're going to trial this between now and the end of the season. If this turns into a car crash and we start offending people across the Toolstation Western League, then we will stop doing it. But the hope is it's a little bit of fun. Dare I say it, it might even be the sort of thing that you can join in with at home. So, Tom, with that in mind, which game are you going for in the Premier Division?
I should have thought about this and picked a potentially one-sided game so I could make myself look a bit smarter. But I've gone for a game between two of the sides at the top, so probably a little bit more difficult to predict. But we've got Bridgewater hosting Falmouth, third v fourth. This should be a tight one, shouldn't it? But I just obviously had a little look at recent results and whatnot, and noticed that Bridgewater haven't actually played a home league game since 2023. So they've been been away from home for quite a while. And obviously Falmouth coming off the back of that that heartbreak in the Vars. But yeah, I think that should be tasty. I will probably plump for an away win if I had the choice. But if I go for a tight, it'd definitely be a tight affair, I'd have thought. So maybe 1 or 2-0. I'll go for 2-0 Falmouth. But that's going to be a tough one.
Right, yes. Now I'm going to have to give a score for this. Normally I don't have to comment on this.
No, I was going to say.
I think so much depends on how Falmouth react following that disappointment, and I do wonder whether there'll be a hangover. You never know how Bridgewater are going to react, particularly as you've said that they're going to, that this is their first sort of home game for a while. I think it will be tight. I'm going to go 2-1, but Bridgewater United. Nice. There you go. It's going to be a draw now, isn't it?
Definitely.
Right, so the game that I picked out was Helston Athletic against Brixham. I've been impressed with Brixham this season. I think they're going to give Helston a real game. And before we had to give a score, I would have said Brixham are perfectly capable of causing an upset here. But now I actually have to put a score on this. I am going to err on the side of caution and go with the safe bet, which is a Helston win. So I'm going to say 2-1. To Helston Athletic.
Again, both teams that fancy scoring, so I don't think there's going to be either side will be keeping clean sheet, not because they can't defend, but more that the other side are capable of netting. And I think Brixham potentially did topple Helston earlier in the season, I think. So let's go for the revenge angle and say Helston do pull off the win, but I'll say both teams to score. So we'll go for a 2-1 home win in that one.
Right then. And we'll look into the First Division. And what game are you going with, Tom?
I've gone for Portishead versus Brislington. So obviously we've got a huge game in the title race. Brislington, games in hand on the top sides, despite, you know, they've got a bit of a deficit in terms of points, but a couple of games in hand, especially if they're playing Portishead, if they can turn that around, that's a nice 6-point swing. And obviously Portishead, 3 games in hand on the leaders, 3 points off the top, so they'll be chomping at the bit, having just put 9 past Portishead, past Odd Down. Sorry, I will go for a home win just because I like the way that Portishead just seem to be scoring for fun. I think I said that earlier, didn't I? So I'll have to back that up. So I'll go for a 3-2 thriller. We'll go for a 5-goal thriller. Portishead coming out on top.
Yeah, after that result at the weekend, and given the firepower that they've got, it's really difficult to look past Portishead, although Brislington are the sort of side that could easily upset them. I think Brislington are going to score. I think Brislington are going to get 2, but I think Portishead are going to get 4. So 4-2 for the home side. And right then, my pick is because I always... The historic way of doing this is that normally Tom's sort of gone high and I've gone low. the game that caught my eye was a bit of a relegation sort of battle, Hengrove Athletic against Keynsham Town. Now, at Wincanton on Saturday, I had a really nice chat with Jamie Hillman from Hengrove. It wasn't that long ago that we had him on the podcast. And actually, Jamie's been coming on for years. And I really want to see his side turn around. And I have to say that I thought they played well on Saturday. They were in that game. They were competitive against a Wincanton side that we know are good. But Keynsham, I've been saying all season, including on my rare appearances on the BBC, that I think Keynsham are in a false league position. I think they're a much better side. Now, I wanted to give Jamie a morale-boosting 3 points, but now I have been forced into this ridiculous situation.
You've talked yourself out of it, haven't you?
I know. I think the kindest... Well, I'm going to go for a draw.
Hey.
I'm going to go for a one-all draw. There you go. What do you think of that?
I definitely... Again, I like the way that Keynesham have been playing recently, specifically. So I think they will score twice. It's just deciding how many Hengrove will go. I'll say that Keynesham do pull off the... I'll go for a 2-1 victory for the K's in this one.
Wow.
Sorry to upset everybody at Hengrove.
The AVB.
I'll probably be wrong, so that's probably a good sign for Hengrove, let's be honest.
Yeah, we've put the kiss of death on it.
We have.
Before we wrap up this week's edition of the podcast, we'll have a quick look at the leading goal scorers, Tom, and then next week, hopefully, if we get some football, we can do the league tables. So can you take us through who our hot shots are?
Yeah, absolutely. So if we look at the two divisions specifically, obviously not been a ton of football recently as we keep addressing, but there has been a little bit of movement towards the top of the scoring charts. So we've got Jared Lewington, a couple more for him on the weekend in the Prem. He's now up to 29. He's leading the way. Jack Fawn of Bridgewater, the only other man to reach 20 so far. And then Phil Ormerod has 17 for Street. And then in the first division, it's no surprise he's out in front. Ethan Feltham, I think he's probably got top spot secured for the season. He's got 42 league goals for Portishead. It's going to take a mighty effort to overhaul that. That's Matt Garner in second, who does score hat-tricks every now and then. So if he could rack up sort of four or five in a row, he might catch up. He's on 27 league goals, which is still an incredible effort. And then we've got Liam Winter of Middlesoy with 21 and Joe Beardwell, who I touched on during the pod. His brace on the weekend has taken him up to 18 for Bitten.
Excellent stuff. Now, of course, all of those statistics and the games that we've been talking about on this week's podcast can be found in your excellent bulletin, Tom. Where can the listeners find that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the bulletin's on the toolstationleague.com website. It's on the homepage and in the latest news area, and there is also a specific tab for it, and that will come out every week, looking back on the games that have just happened and ahead to what's to come.
Excellent stuff. Tom, thank you very much for your time and your work. And I look forward to catching up with you on next week's Tool Station. Western League Podcast.